Chapter 107. Neighbors' gardens, and force the fruit and vegetables into premature existence. That fact I am acquainted with. But will you permit me, fairest creature, to ask you one question, in the absence of the planet Venus, who has gone on business to the horse guards, and would otherwise jealous of your superior charms interpose between us? Kate, observed Mrs. Nickleby, turning to her daughter, it's very awkward, positively. I really don't know what to say to this gentleman. One ought to be civil, you know. Dear mama, rejoined Kate, don't say a word to him, but let us run away as fast as we can, and shut ourselves up till Nicholas comes home. Mrs. Nickleby looked very grand, not to say contemptuous, at this humiliating proposal, and, turning to the old gentleman, who had watched them during these whispers with absorbing eagerness, said, if you will conduct yourself, sir, like the gentleman I should imagine you to be, from your language and appearance, quite the counterpart of your grandpapa, Kate, my dear, in his best days, and will put your question to me in plain words, I will answer it. If Mrs. Nickleby's excellent papa had borne, in his best days, a resemblance to the neighbor now looking over the wall, he must have been, to say the least, a very queer-looking old gentleman in his prime. Perhaps Kate thought so, for she ventured to glance at his living portrait with some attention, as he took off his black velvet cap, and, exhibiting a perfectly bald head, made a long series of bows, each accompanied with a fresh kiss of the hand. After exhausting himself, to all appearance, with this fatiguing performance, he covered his head once more, pulled the cap very carefully over the tips of his ears, and resuming his former attitude, said, the question is here he broke off to look round in every direction, and satisfy himself beyond all doubt that there were no listeners near. Assured that there were not, he tapped his nose several times, accompanying the action with a cunning look, as though congratulating himself on his caution, and stretching out his neck, said in a loud whisper, are you a princess? You are mocking me, sir, replied Mrs. Nickleby, making a feint of retreating towards the house. No, but are you? Said the old gentleman. You know I am not, sir, replied Mrs. Nickleby. Then are you any relation to the Archbishop of Canterbury? Inquired the old gentleman with great anxiety, or to the Pope of Rome, or the Speaker of the House of Commons. Forgive me, if I am wrong, but I was told you were niece to the Commissioners of Paving, and daughter-in-law to the Lord Mayor and Court of Common Council, which would account for your relationship to all three. Whoever has spread such reports, sir, returned Mrs. Nickleby, with some warmth, has taken great liberties with my name, and one which I am sure my son Nicholas, if he was aware of it, would not allow for an instant. The idea, said Mrs. Nickleby, drawing herself up, niece to the Commissioners of Paving. Pray, mama, come away. Whispered Kate. Pray, mama. Nonsense, Kate, said Mrs. Nickleby, angrily, but that's just the way. If they had said I was niece to a piping bullfinch, what would you care? But I have no sympathy, whimpered Mrs. Nickleby. I don't expect it, that's one thing. Cried the old gentleman, with such an energetic jump, that he fell down two or three steps, and grated his chin against the wall. Catch the crystal globules, catch 'em, bottle 'em up, cork 'em tight, put sealing wax on the top, seal 'em with a cupid, label 'em best quality, and stow 'em away in the 14 bin, with a bar of iron on the top, to keep the thunder off. Issuing these commands, as if there were a dozen attendants all actively engaged in their execution, he turned his velvet cap inside out, put it on with great dignity so as to obscure his right eye and 3/4 of his nose, and sticking his arms akimbo, looked very fiercely at a sparrow hard by, till the bird flew away, when he put his cap in his pocket with an air of great satisfaction, and addressed himself with respectful demeanor to Mrs. Nickleby. "Beautiful madam," apostrophe such were his words, "if I have made any mistake with regard to your family or connections, I humbly beseech you to pardon me. If I supposed you to be related to foreign powers or native boards, it is because you have a manner, a carriage, a dignity, which you will excuse my saying, that none but yourself, with the single exception perhaps of the tragic muse, when playing extemporaneously on the barrel organ before the East India Company, can parallel. I am not a youth, ma'am, as you see. And although beings like you can never grow old, I venture to presume that we are fitted for each other. Apostrophe, really, Kate, my love. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Nickleby faintly, and looking another way. I have estates, ma'am, apostrophe, said the old gentleman, flourishing his right hand negligently, as if he made very light of such matters, and speaking very fast. Jewels, lighthouses, fish ponds, a whalery of my own in the North Sea, and several oyster beds of great profit in the Pacific Ocean. If you will have the kindness to step down to the Royal Exchange, and to take the cocked hat off the stoutest beetle's head, you will find my card in the lining of the crown, wrapped up in a piece of blue paper. My walking stick is also to be seen on application to the chaplain of the House of Commons, who is strictly forbidden to take any money for showing it. I have enemies about me, ma'am, apostrophe, he looked towards his house, and spoke very low, who attack me on all occasions, and wish to secure my property. If you bless me with your hand and heart, you can apply to the Lord Chancellor or call out the military, if necessary sending my toothpick to the Commander-in-Chief will be sufficient, and so clear the house of them before the ceremony is performed. After that, love, bliss and rapture, rapture, love and bliss. Be mine, be mine. Apostrophe, repeating these last words with great rapture and enthusiasm, the old gentleman put on his black velvet cap again, and looking up into the sky in a hasty manner, said something that was not quite intelligible concerning a balloon he expected, and which was rather after its time. Be mine, be mine. Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated the old gentleman. Kate, my dear, apostrophe, said Mrs. Nickleby, I have hardly the power to speak, but it is necessary for the happiness of all parties that this matter should be set at rest forever. Apostrophe, surely there is no necessity for you to say one word, mamma? Apostrophe, apostrophe, reasoned Kate. You will allow me, my dear, if you please, to judge for myself, apostrophe, said Mrs. Nickleby. Be mine, be mine. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the old gentleman. It can scarcely be expected, sir, apostrophe, said Mrs. Nickleby, fixing her eyes modestly on the ground, that I should tell a stranger whether I feel flattered and obliged by such proposals, or not. They certainly are made under very singular circumstances. Still at the same time, as far as it goes, and to a certain extent of course, Mrs. Nickleby's customary qualification, they must be gratifying and agreeable to one's feelings. Apostrophe, be mine, apostrophe, cried the old gentleman. Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog. Be mine. Apostrophe, it will be sufficient for me to say, sir, apostrophe, resumed Mrs. Nickleby, with perfect seriousness, and I'm sure you will see the propriety of taking an answer and going away, that I have made up my mind to remain a widow, and to devote myself to my children. You may not suppose I am the mother of two children, indeed many people have doubted it, and said that nothing on earth could ever make them believe it possible, but it is the case, and they are both grown up. We shall be very glad to have you for a neighbor, very glad. Delighted, I'm sure, but in any other character it's quite impossible, quite. As to my being young enough to marry again, that perhaps may be so, or it may not be, but I couldn't think of it for an instant, not on any account whatever. I said I never would, and I never will. It's a very painful thing, to have to reject proposals, and I would much rather that none were made. At the same time, this is the answer that I determined long ago to make, and this is the answer I shall always give. Apostrophe, these observations were partly addressed to the old gentleman, partly to Kate, and partly delivered in soliloquy. Towards their conclusion, the suitor evinced a very irreverent degree of inattention, and Mrs. Nickleby had scarcely finished speaking, when, to the great terror both of that lady and her daughter, he suddenly flung off his coat, and springing on the top of the wall, threw himself into an attitude which displayed his small clothes and gray worsted to the fullest advantage, and concluded by standing on one leg, and repeating his favorite bellow with increased vehemence. While he was still dwelling on the last note, and embellishing it with a prolonged flourish, a dirty hand was observed to glide stealthily and swiftly along the top of the wall, as if in pursuit of a fly, and then to clasp with the utmost dexterity one of the old gentleman's ankles. This done, the companion hand appeared, and clasped the other ankle. Thus encumbered, the old gentleman lifted his legs awkwardly once or twice, as if they were very clumsy and imperfect pieces of machinery, and then looking down on his own side of the wall, burst into a loud laugh. "It's you, is it?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the old gentleman. "Yes, it's me," apostrophe, replied a gruff voice. "How's the Emperor of Tartary?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the old gentleman. "Oh, he's much the same as usual," apostrophe, was the reply. "No better and no worse." Apostrophe, the young prince of China, apostrophe, said the old gentleman, with much interest. "Is he reconciled to his father-in-law, the great potato salesman?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "No," apostrophe, answered the gruff voice. "And he says he never will be, that's more." Apostrophe, "If that's the case," apostrophe, observed the old gentleman, "perhaps I'd better come down." Apostrophe, "Well," apostrophe, said the man on the other side, "I think you had, perhaps." Apostrophe, one of the hands being then cautiously unclasped, the old gentleman dropped into a sitting posture, and was looking round to smile and bow to Mrs. Nickleby, when he disappeared with some precipitation, as if his legs had been pulled from below. Very much relieved by his disappearance, Kate was turning to speak to her mama, when the dirty hands again became visible, and were immediately followed by the figure of a coarse squat man, who ascended by the steps which had been recently occupied by their singular neighbor. "Beg your pardon, ladies," apostrophe, said this newcomer, grinning and touching his hat. "Has he been making love to either of you?" Apostrophe, "Yes," apostrophe, said Kate. "Ah." Apostrophe, apostrophe, rejoined the man, taking his handkerchief out of his hat and wiping his face, "he always will, you know. Nothing will prevent his making love. Apostrophe, I need not ask you, if he is out of his mind, poor creature," apostrophe, said Kate. "Why no," apostrophe, replied the man, looking into his hat, throwing his handkerchief in at one dab, and putting it on again. "That's pretty plain, that is. Apostrophe, has he been long so?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Kate. "A long while." Apostrophe, "and is there no hope for him?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Kate, compassionately, "not a bit, and don't deserve to be," apostrophe, replied the keeper. "He's a deal pleasanter without his senses than with them. He was the cruelest, wickedest, out-and-outerest old flint that ever drawed breath." Apostrophe, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Kate. "By George." Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied the keeper, shaking his head so emphatically that he was obliged to frown to keep his hat on. "I never come across such a vagabond, and my mate says the same. Broke his poor wife's heart, turned his daughters out of doors, drove his sons into the streets, It was a blessing he went mad at last, through evil tempers, and covetousness, and selfishness, and guzzling, and drinking, or he'd have drove many others so. Hope for him, an old rip. There isn't too much hope going, but I'll bet a crown that what there is saved for more deserving chaps than him, anyhow. Apostrophe, with which confession of his faith, the keeper shook his head again, as much as to say that nothing short of this would do, if things were to go on at all, and touching his hat sulkily, not that he was in an ill humor, but that his subject ruffled him, descended the ladder, and took it away. During this conversation, Mrs. Nickleby had regarded the man with a severe and steadfast look. She now heaved a profound sigh, and pursing up her lips, shook her head in a slow and doubtful manner. Poor creature! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Kate. Ah! Poor indeed! Apostrophe, rejoined Mrs. Nickleby. It's shameful that such things should be allowed. Shameful! Apostrophe, how can they be helped, Mama? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Kate, mournfully. The infirmities of nature, apostrophe, nature. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Nickleby. What? Do you suppose this poor gentleman is out of his mind? Apostrophe, apostrophe, can anybody who sees him entertain any other opinion, Mama? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why then, I just tell you this, Kate, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Nickleby, that he is nothing of the kind, and I am surprised you can be so imposed upon. It's some plot of these people to possess themselves of his property, didn't he say so himself? He may be a little odd and flighty, perhaps, many of us are that, but downright mad. And express himself as he does, respectfully, and in quite poetical language, and making offers with so much thought, and care, and prudence, not as if he ran into the streets, and went down upon his knees to the first chit of a girl he met, as a madman would. No, no, Kate, there's a great deal too much method in his madness. Depend upon that, my dear. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.